is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
With the New World Report, my colleagues Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, Joseph Umar, executive director of Secure Free Society. We go to the news from Cuba in these last days that requires interpretation and also an explanation of what this could mean for the rest of the Americas. China plans a new military facility in Cuba, according to the Wall Street Journal. This is some days past. China and Cuba are negotiating to establish a new joint military training facility, sparking alarm in the U.S. that it could lead to the stationing of Chinese troops and other security operations just off Florida's coast, according to the Wall Street Journal. Since then, we've had information about China in the rest of the Americas. For example, The Diplomat is publishing this news that there are Chinese police stations, a.k.a. listening posts, in Buenos Aires, in Rio de Janeiro, in Sao Paulo, and Quito. The question is open now as to whether China is welcomed in other capitals throughout the Americas. I welcome you, Joseph, to comment on this, because though the news is some days past, there has been no obvious response from the Biden administration. The Secretary of State said it was deeply concerning. What were your first thoughts when you heard this news, and what does it mean for the rest of the Americas? Good evening to you, Joseph.
Good evening, John. So I wasn't necessarily surprised. I think there has been an effort by China for quite a while to build out its presence in Cuba, but also in other parts of the Caribbean, in the Bahamas, for instance. They also have some infrastructure, and obviously they have a lot of commercial infrastructure that has dual-use applications that can be used for military and intelligence purposes. But I think the big thing that's on most Americans' mind when they read that Wall Street Journal article is, are we now heading into a second Cuban Missile Crisis? Right? We remember the 1962 crisis with the Soviet Union, and that almost brought the world to the brink of nuclear war. Is that where we're headed with China in Cuba and Latin America? Now, perhaps, but here's the big lesson, and I think this is the big thing that we take away from the Cuban Missile Crisis. Like, and thankfully, that got thwarted by very nuanced diplomacy by President Kennedy and Khrushchev, and basically what happened, we all know the history. But the question is, what did the hardliners, both from the Soviet Union and the Castro regime, who was in power at the time in Cuba, say about the Cuban Missile Crisis? And they always felt that there wasn't enough leverage, that they did not have enough to threaten the United States by putting missiles inside Cuba. And the big takeaway then now is that when you talk about China's listening post or potentially sending military personnel to Cuba, that's not in the context of just China and Cuba. That involves an entire network. Just in the Latin America context, that's going to involve Nicaragua, Venezuela, Bolivia, and that Bolivarian threat network that already exists. And externally, that's going to involve Iran and Russia as well. And my last point, John, the other thing is, it's also interesting, and this is the most recent Wall Street Journal piece, is to read how did the U.S. intelligence come about this information about the listening posts that they're building in Cuba, was that they were following the Chinese telecommunication firms, Huawei and ZTE, which to me is a strong indication for other countries in Latin America to understand that when Huawei and ZTE come in your country, they're not just coming in your country for telecommunications. There's intelligence and military that's coming in right behind them. And I think that has to be very well understood, because a lot of Latin American countries are talking to Huawei and ZTE, mainly Huawei, about their telecoms. And in this case, it's clearly showing that the Huawei people that were inside Cuba were building out the capabilities for this listening post that's in development.
Ernesto, the indication here is that there are Chinese police stations. So-called police stations are meant to help Chinese nationalists when they're overseas with visas, diplomats, travel passages. We also know, however, that Chinese police stations can be used for intimidating Chinese citizens or Chinese nationals who have left the country and moved to other places, surveillance on Chinese nationals. Your time in the foreign ministry, did you have contact with what is reported to be Chinese police station in Rio de Janeiro and Sao Paulo? Did Mr. Bolsonaro's government have an opinion of China using listening posts in the region? And does Mr. Lula da Silva's government have an opinion of China using listening posts in the region? Good day to you.
Good day, John. Great to be here. Let me tell you, no, I had no idea about this, but it doesn't surprise me. Those operations were not in the open back then when I was in the foreign ministry. Otherwise, I would have pushed the relevant agencies to work. Right? regarding that. It can't be like that. But I'm pretty sure that the Chinese are operating in Brazil undercover, not only to intimidate the Chinese diaspora in Brazil, like they do everywhere, but to influence Brazilian politics and Brazilian economy and Brazilian decision making. And that's what I was working against very strongly. And that's why I had to leave the foreign ministry. I mean, to leave the post of a foreign minister, because there was a growing, growing pressure from the Chinese lobby in Brazil against me, against someone who didn't want China to have that sort of operation in Brazil. So intelligence agencies in Brazil are very weak and possibly compromised. Yesterday, I saw the news that the boss of the cartel called Comando Vermelho, the Red Red Commando, which is second to PCC in Brazil, is the son of an officer in the Brazilian intelligence agency. Just to give you an example, and we are pretty sure that China is involved with drug trafficking in Brazil as well. But something very important that Joseph mentioned. 5G networks, Huawei and ZTE, the Chinese internet companies or internet 5G equipment companies, they come not as commercial operations, they come as intelligence operations linked to the plans of the Chinese Communist Party. It's like having Chinese Communist Party ruling your internet in your country. And that's also a big fight that I had as foreign minister. I mean, we cannot leave that to happen. We cannot admit that. We could not let the Chinese Communist Party run our internet. And I had to leave also because the rest of the administration wanted to let Huawei and ZTE in our 5G network. So that means that the second half of Bolsonaro's government, at least in the foreign policy domain, was completely different after I left office, not because of me, but because of the line that I followed. It was completely different afterwards. It became totally complacent towards the interference and insertion of China in the core of our decision-making process and political and economic life. And now under Lula is worse. I mean, Lula is welcoming that. Bolsonaro was turning a blind eye to that. Lula is welcoming that sort of interference. He would welcome any sort of extension of Chinese influence, military, intelligence, economic, etc., in Latin America as a whole. His part, he's an actor in the project of the Chinese Communist Party to rule the world.
Joseph, drugs are said to be a major focus of the Biden administration, fentanyl being shipped in precursors to Mexico and then distributed into the U.S., damaging our governance, and also, I believe the victims were more than 100,000 last year. To your knowledge, do the Chinese import fentanyl into the Americas, into Cuba, into Nicaragua, into Venezuela? Are they the same gangs that make money on shipping it to Mexico? Are they operating elsewhere?
Not directly, John. What the Chinese have done is they built a sustained relationship with the Mexican cartels, particularly the Sinaloa cartel. And doing that, the fentanyl business has grown and the cartels have diversified from cocaine to also include fentanyl trafficking into their illicit revenue streams. And so the Sinaloa cartel, yes, has been moving fentanyl, or at least thinking about moving fentanyl to other countries in the Americas. This past March in Colombia, they arrested two members of the Sinaloa. No, they didn't arrest. Let me rephrase that. They detained and they stopped two members of the Sinaloa cartel coming into Bogota because they were discussing using the cocaine labs that are already existing in Colombia to convert those into fentanyl labs using the precursor chemicals that they get from China in the case that the United States starts to clamp down on Mexico. So the balloon effect would take place. They would move their operation to Colombia because they feel like they have a safer space there if the United States clamps down on the fentanyl labs in Mexico. So China works basically through the Mexican cartels. They built this partnership. This has gone on, John, since at least about 2012, if not sooner. And at this point, the Chinese Communist Party has taught the Mexican cartels the fentanyl business because they understood not just the financial aspect of how the brokers and how to move the money to be able to create these labs, but they also understood how to pill press, how to create the right potency to be able to ship it in a way that can actually be marketable for drug markets in the United States. And the cartels would struggle with some of that at first, are now starting to dominate that market. And what it looks like is they could potentially export it to other countries in Latin America.
So the indications are that it's nowhere near as dominant a story in the Americas as of now. Is that correct, Joseph?
No, nobody's talking about it right now, but it's coming.
Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society, Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil. I'm John Bachelor.